You can take your Bibles tonight and turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 36. We're going to continue our little mini-series into the birth of Christ. Last time we looked at the two angelic visitors to both Elizabeth and Mary, who provided them with the great news of their miraculous conceptions. And tonight we're going to look at John's birth and Mary's marriage. So from a divine viewpoint, Mary was favored of God. From a divine viewpoint, God thought she was pretty awesome. But from a peer's standpoint, people did not, it wasn't so simple. Okay, because in that time, Mary was only betrothed to Joseph, which means that she was not married to Joseph or living with him. And so for her to suddenly have a child growing inside of her was a big deal. It was a problem. According to the law, she could have been stoned. That's in Deuteronomy 22, 20 and 21, if you want to look at it sometime. She could have been stoned if she was found to have relations with someone else. If mercy were shown to her and she wasn't stoned, then she would instead be sent away with a bill of divorce. That's Deuteronomy 24, 1. And great disgrace would be brought upon her family. So that was a lot to consider for someone who was, again, a young teenager at the time. In Luke 1:36, it says, "And behold, thy cousin or kinswoman, Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." So remember that the angel told Mary about the miracle that was wrought in Elizabeth, right? So as part of this comforting words to her, she says, you know, your kinswoman is also pregnant. Something great has happened in her too. So Mary sets off to spend time with her, which is very culturally typical during the engagement period. Oftentimes, the young girls would go stay with an elder relative to start to learn how to be a wife. Start to learn how to do things in a marriage. So it was very common for that to happen. So she gets this great news, and sort of to kind of not be around too much on the early period, she goes off to see Elizabeth. Verse 39, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah." With haste, in earnest. "And entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth," or greeted her. "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation," heard the greeting, "of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with" what?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Spirit. That's right. She had received Holy Spirit in that moment. Just as other prophets had in their times. She had no five senses knowledge of Mary's news. None. Mary just shows up and says, "Hey, how's it going, Elizabeth? I'm here to visit." But she is filled with the Holy Spirit. And verse 42 says, "And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." I mean, can you imagine young teenage Mary just had this fantastic news, but now she's got all these things to consider in her mind, goes to see her relative, and who has no knowledge of what's been going on. And the first thing that Elizabeth says to her is this words of comfort. "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Like, not even like, "Hey, what's up?" Like, that must have been really, really cool for Mary, right? Verse 43, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Wow, right? I mean, think about it. In her current predicament, that must have been such a comfort. "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation or greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." So Elizabeth's prophecy established what Gabriel had already told Mary. So Mary walks up to the door and says, "Hey, Elizabeth," and she gives this prophecy to her. How fantastic is that? And establishes what Gabriel had already told her. If she was having any doubts on her walk over there, Elizabeth put that all to rest. Verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify who?"
The Lord.
Man, she was blessed. "My soul does magnify God, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." And the word low estate there is the word for humbleness or humility. He has regarded the humbleness or humility of his handmaiden. "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." So Mary's meekness and humility were some of the wonderful qualities that God regarded. And she understood that despite her humbleness and humility, that she was going to be someone revered from that point forward. "All generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." I mean, think about the maturity of this 14, 15-year-old girl, right? To understand, to have this notion of where who she was and what God was working in her. It's pretty incredible. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." So she's understanding the great help that this is to her people too, right? And it says there, "in remembrance of his mercy," which refers to the covenant with Abraham and his seed. Right? That he remembered, God remembered his promise way back then to Abraham. And that promise was coming to pass through her. "As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house." So Mary received the revelation from Gabriel when Elizabeth was 6 months along in her pregnancy, and then abode with her another 3 months. So Elizabeth was close to delivery at the point that Mary leaves. And that puts the time of this whole sequence of events at about March of 3 BC. So it's about March of 3 BC when Mary goes back home. Verse 57. "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her." They were so blessed. Remember that because she didn't have a kid, it was very customary for people to think that her and Zacharias had sinned in some way. That childbirth was withheld from people because they had done some great sin. So everybody was rejoicing with her. How wonderful. "And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father." Well, obviously he will be called Zacharias, just like his dad. And the word "called" there is the Greek word ekaloon, which is "tried to call." It means that it hadn't actually happened. "They tried to call him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, 'Not so, but he shall be called John.' And they said unto her, 'There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name.'" Well, that's such a silly name. None of your family is called John. "And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. I remember that Zacharias can't speak. He can't say, his name is John. So he asked for a writing table and wrote saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. Wow, he wants to call him John too. They were so surprised. And verse 64, his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed and he spake and what? Praise God. For over 9 months, Zacharias was unable to speak. He got the great news while he was doing his great honor of burning the incense in the temple. And because he didn't believe, he was mute for that whole time. And here it was that Gabriel had told him that when those things were done, in verse 20, that his tongue would be loose. Verse 20, if you want to look back at it, really, behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. And that was that day. The last thing that Gabriel told him was that he would have to name him John. So he says, his name is John. And he's like, okay, I can talk again. That's what God said was going to happen. And that's what happened. So after obeying God by naming the child John, he was delivered and able to speak. And the first thing he does is say, why I wasn't able to speak for 9 months. He praised God. He praised God. And fear came upon all, or came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And the word visited there is the Greek word for look upon. He has looked upon and redeemed his people. And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high that hath visited us. The word day spring there is the sunrise. It was a new day for Israel. To give them light, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So this was his great prophecy about his son who had just been born. Remember that John was promised to be this light to Israel, who had lived in spiritual darkness for 400 years since the prophet Malachi. There hadn't been spoken revelation to the people of Israel. And John was to come to prepare everyone to get them back to God, because Jesus Christ was to follow. So he came to get everybody back into spiritual excitement again, to get everybody back to God, to thinking about God again, because Jesus Christ was on the way. Verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing to Israel. So it says there in verse 80 that the child grew and waxed strong in what? Spirit, right? Because John was the only man to be born with Holy Spirit, and he grew very strong in that spirit. Go to Matthew 11, verse 11. So So this brought to fulfillment the promise that was made to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Matthew 11:11 says, this is Christ speaking of John the Baptist, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." There has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So John was not perfect like Jesus Christ was, but unlike Jesus, he was born with spirit, and he grew strong in that spirit from his childhood. Go to Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6. Jesus Christ called him the greatest man. John chapter 1, verse 6. "There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believeth on his name." And the word name there is onoma, or namesake, on his namesake. And God's namesake was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So John came to bring the spiritually lost back to God. To bring them back to God. Go to Acts chapter 19, verse 4. So God saw the need for a prophet to usher in this era, because Israel had been in such darkness for so long. Acts 19, verse 4. "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." So John's ministry was brief. If you look at it in the Bible, it was brief, but it's impact was immense, because it was a matter of bringing everybody back to God to prepare their hearts for the eventual coming of the Messiah. So go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. But God is so cool to work all of this out for his people, right? Mary, he finally finds someone who's ready to believe in Mary, and at the same time, a family member in Elizabeth to be an encouragement to her, an elder kinswoman to be an encouragement to her and to help her. And that same kinswoman gives birth to John the Baptist to prepare everybody for the coming of Jesus Christ. You can't plan it any better. Matthew 1, chapter 18. "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost," or of God. And we looked at that last week, right? That before her and Joseph, while they were espoused, before they had come together, she was found with child from God. Verse 19. "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man," so between 18 and 19, everything else happens, okay? She was espoused to him. She gets pregnant via God's miracle. And then they get married, and the soul ceremony happens, and all that other good stuff. But verse 19 jumps to then Joseph, her husband. So now they're married. Being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or secretly. Okay? So Joseph is choosing not to stone her, but instead take the merciful route and put her away secretly. But, verse 20, while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of what?
Or who?
God. The Holy Ghost. God. The phrase there, take unto thee, is the term to have sex. So we remember last time we looked at the marriage custom, right? So the marriage custom is that there's the betrothal, or there's the pre-arrangements, usually years before. They say, you're going to get married someday. So they arrange all that to happen. Then there's the betrothal, where they say, okay, now you're promised together, and at that point a dowry is paid for the woman, right? So the dowry is paid for the bride, and now from that point on they're going to get married and all the arrangements are made. Later on the wedding happens, which is a 10-day celebration, and then after the wedding the priest or an elder arranges the first sexual intercourse to sort of line up with a time where they're going to be able to conceive. So they get told when they get to have sex after they're married. And that's what's going on here in verse 20. So they were married, but they had not yet known each other. And the angel comes in and says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. It's okay to have sex with her because what the child that is conceived in her is of God. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So while Joseph is trying to figure out a way to handle this situation with Mary, because he finds out that she is with child before they have come together, the angel comes in and says, don't sweat it. It's all good. Oh, and call his name Jesus, too. Verse 22. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, or from the vision, awakened from his vision or revelation, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He's like, all right, you say so. So, the angel comes to reassure him, to tell him that it's all good. And he says, okay, great, time to go. You can leave your finger here and you can go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Going to get a quick background on the phrase to know, because it's critical to understanding the next verse. Genesis 4, chapter 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she what?
Conceived.
She conceived, and bare Cain. So Adam knew his wife, means they came together to have sex, and she conceived. Verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she what?
Conceived.
Verse 25. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son. Okay? So, there's a pattern. Chapter 19, verse 8. I'll give you a couple more examples in case you can't see the pattern yet. Genesis 19, verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. This is Lot speaking. They have not known man. Verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. So he was speaking to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, those same daughters he had offered up in verse 8, who had known not a man. So they didn't know their husbands yet because they hadn't conceived, as it had said in the verses in Genesis 4. Adam knew his wife and she conceived. Cain knew his wife and she conceived. Adam knew his wife again and she conceived. These guys did not know a man because they had not yet conceived. You can go back to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 24. Joseph, being raised from sleep, awakened from his vision, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife. He did what he was told. And knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son. Well, either he did or he didn't. Right? Well, he did, but she did not conceive from Joseph until after she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So, obviously she was already pregnant. She couldn't get doubly pregnant from Joseph. So, he did take unto him his wife, but he did not conceive again until after Jesus was born, obviously. And that's how it all works out. So Mary was not a virgin, as we would know it, at the time of Jesus' birth, but she obviously could not conceive again until she get the first one. So that's biology for everybody. That's how it all works. So God works in the situation. He sends the angel to give revelation to Joseph so that he doesn't put her out, explains to Joseph what's going on, and they enjoy a sweet marriage together and do all the stuff married people do. And eventually, she gives birth to Jesus Christ. And next time we meet, we'll get to see all about the birth of Jesus Christ, which is the whole point of the Christmas holiday. To recognize the birth of our Lord and Savior.